अज तो ठीक 98 साल पहला 6 अगस्त सन 1915 नू एनजैक जवाना अते एलाइड सैनिका ने गैलीपोली दी चढ़ाई दा अखीरला मोर्चा आरंभ कीता सी। अते जिवें तुसी कल इतिहासकार ते लेखक प्रोफेसर पीटर स्टैनली तो सुनिया, इस विच भारतीय मूल दे 5000 गुरखा अते सिख सैनिक भी शामिल सन। इन्हां 5000 विच्चों 3000 लड़ाकू सन, यानी कि कॉम्बैटेंट्स, जिन्हां विच्चों तकरीबन अद्धे भारती सैनिक गैलीपोली विच शहीद होए। अज जिथे कि गैलीपोली नूं एक तीर्थ अस्थान मन्या जांदा है अते शहीद सैनिकां दी मज़ारां ते फुल चढ़ाए जांदे हन अते सत्कार नाल रस्मो रिवाज अदा कीते जांदे हन, उत्थे बड़े अफसोस की गल है कि किसी भी हिंदू या सिख सैनिक दी गैलीपोली विच मज़ार नहीं है। प्रोफेसर पीटर स्टैनली पूछ रहे हन कि की भारती शहीदां दा संस्कार कीता गया सी, अगर हाँ ते किथे, क्योंकि उत्थे कोई यादगारी स्मारक जरूर बनना चाहिदा है। पर प्रोफेसर स्टैनली नू सब तो वद तलाश है भारती सैनिकां दियां चिट्ठियां, यादां, मेडल्स आदि, ताकि ओ भारती नजरिए तो एक नवी किताब लिख सकन। इस बारे तुसी साडे कल दे यानी सोमवार 5 अगस्त दे प्रोग्राम विच पीटर स्टैनली नाल मेरी मुलाकात दा एक हिस्सा सुनिया सी। आओ अज उस मुलाकात नू जारी रखिए अते गैलीपोली तो इलावा होर जंगां विच सिख सैनिकां दे योगदान बारे भी सुनिए। अते पीटर सानू दूजे विश्व युद्ध दौरान उस वाक्य बारे भी दसणगे जद हजारां भारती सैनिकां नू जापानी फौज ने बंदी बनाया, उन्हां नाल भारी तशद्दद कीता, पर अंत विच सन 1944 नू आस्ट्रेलियन सैनिकां ने इन्हां भारती फौजियां नू रिहा कीता अते बाइज्जत वापस अपने मुल्क भेजिया। प्रोफेसर स्टैनली सानू दसणगे कि किवें कई आस्ट्रेलियन सैनिकां ने इन्हां सिख फौजियां दी हिम्मत दी दात दित्ती अते कहा कि रिहाई तो बाद सब तो पहला उन्हां सिख सैनिकां ने मच्छरदानियां कट के पग्गां बणाईआं, उन्हां नू पाया अते फिर फौजी शानो शौकत नाल सलामी दित्ती। आओ सुनिए प्रोफेसर पीटर स्टैनली नू। What about from Gallipoli, Peter? The contribution of Indian soldiers and specifically Sikh soldiers in the world wars, both the wars, has been known to be absolutely outstanding. Even in the Boer wars, they were involved. What have you uncovered about that?
Well, I went to India, to the Punjab last year, because I felt I needed to understand the country from which these soldiers came. And so I started to get a feeling for the people and the land. And, of course, as military historians know, the Punjab was the main recruiting ground of the British Army, the British Indian Army, in both world wars. Mm. And so there's a strong Punjabi element in, and Sikh element, Indian military history in the world wars. Mm. So, for example, Sikhs fought in every one of the theatres in which the British Indian Army was committed in both world wars, Mesopotamia, in France, in Burma, in Singapore, and they turn up just about everywhere. So it's in one sense quite easy to visualise Sikh soldiers because they are so prevalent. Mm. They even turn up in New Guinea. So in 1945, for example, Sikhs who had been captured by the Japanese in Singapore are liberated by Australians, and that there are friendships formed between Australians and Sikhs in New Guinea, just as they were in in Gallipoli.
I was just going to come to that, the connection between Australians and the Sikhs, because you and I collaborated on something a few years ago about how Indian prisoners of war were actually released by Australian soldiers. So I think a little bit of history of that would be very valuable to our listeners.
Well, indeed, the background story there is that at the fall of Singapore, there were about 40,000 Indian troops captured, and the Japanese immediately began to attempt to suborn them, to persuade them to join the Japanese side, and many did. Mm. The 20,000-odd Indians served with the Indian National Army, believing that they were fighting against British imperialism and were helping to liberate India.
Mm.
But there were also Indian soldiers, and many of them were Gurkhas and Sikhs again, who resisted that Japanese persuasion and propaganda, and they were regarded and treated as prisoners of war and were treated very badly indeed. And they suffered very severely from hunger and disease and brutality. Some of them ended up in the Japanese Empire in New Guinea, working as labourers. And as the war turned against Japan, Australians had discovered and liberated these parties of Indians who had been starving in places like New Britain and Wiwak in New Guinea. Mm. And they were able to recover them and eventually repatriate them to India. And one thing the Australians noticed about these Indians was that although they'd been prisoners of war for 3 years and treated very badly by the Japanese, they never stopped being soldiers. And they gained their identity from their sense of loyalty to their unit, to their comrades, to their army.
Yes.
And as soon as they were liberated, many of them immediately made turbans out of mosquito nets and immediately began to salute and perform all the actions of soldiers because it was so important to their survival. So the Australians, of course, admired this because they were all citizen soldiers. They weren't regular soldiers, the Australians.
Mm.
But they saw in these men the same sort of martial qualities that the Australians had admired among the Indian troops on Gallipoli in 1915.
And this is documented in the Australian War Memorial as well.
That's right. National Archives have files about this because the Australian Army is a very bureaucratic army and it writes everything down.
Yes.
And so all of the encounters with Indian troops were documented, not just in the ordinary records, but in the war crimes records, because those Indians were then asked to testify against the Japanese who had treated them so badly, and so that their testimony was an important part of the justice meted out to Japanese who had broken the laws of war.
You mentioned in passing that there is some Indian connection with Simpson and his donkey as well.
Indeed, yes, there is. It's one of the aspects of this friendship that grew between Indian troops, and especially Sikhs, on Gallipoli and with the Anzacs, is that the Australian diet, the army's diet, was basically beef and biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unpalatable at the best of times, but on Gallipoli it was especially bad. And many of the Australians made friends with the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Again, without the Indians necessarily speaking English.
Yes.
But they made friends, and many of them came to the Indian units and ate dal and chapati, and an easier food to digest.
Yes.
Than the bully beef and biscuit.
Mm.
And John Simpson Kirkpatrick, the famous man with the donkey,
yes,
lived among the cooks at the Indian artillery camp on Gallipoli.
Really?
3 weeks before he was killed.
Oh.
But he wasn't the only Australian to do that. There are many accounts of Australians. I read one today, in fact, of a man from a Tasmanian surveyor who said that he often visited the Indian camp and particularly admired the Sikhs because they would never accept gifts.
Mm.
They wouldn't accept anything from the visitors, but they would always feed them dal and chapati in order to help them through this terrible diet.
So even in the war field, the langar that they produced was definitely something very sought after.
Absolutely, yes. You can understand why if you've ever had a tin of corned beef.
Oh, that is just unbelievable. I'm so looking forward to this book that you're researching. Now, this will be called Die in Battle, Do Not Despair, Indians on Gallipoli.
That's right. And it will be published in 2015, the centenary of the Gallipoli campaign.
And I wish you so much luck for this, because I think this will be something that all of us can revel in. Finally, some of the Indian side of the stories can come out.
Yes, indeed.
Mm. So, Peter, if there is anybody who wants to contact you, if they have some memorabilia, some family history that they want to share with you, what's the best way to do it?
Best way is to find me by email,
mm-hmm,
and that's p.stanley at ADFA, as I work at the Australian Defence Force Academy, at adfa.edu.au, and I'd be very happy to hear from anyone who has any family connection with any Indians who've served on Gallipoli.
So are you also looking for anecdotal evidence, or
is
it medals and...
Yes, mm-hmm, yes, medals, family stories, photographs,
mm-hmm,
anything that's been handed down,
mm-hmm,
because it's so important to document the experiences of these men who so far have not had a voice in.
The problem, they say, is those people who are busy creating history, making history, seldom write it down.
That's right. Oh, yes, these men were not, I mean, many of them were not able to write,
mm,
although many of them, they were very, Indian soldiers on Gallipoli, indeed in the Indian Army, were not necessarily poor men. They were yeoman farmers. They had land. When I went to the Punjab last year, I started to understand that, you know, they had small holdings in the irrigation colonies.
Mm.
So many of them could write, and they wrote to their families, and my hope is that the families then publish their letters,
mm,
in the local vernacular press newspapers.
Mm.
So I'm working with an Indian colleague,
mm,
to find someone who's able to work through those Punjabi language newspapers in 1915 and perhaps find these letters that were published that we've never seen before.
Wonderful. I wish you all the very best on this personal journey that you're undertaking, and look forward to the book when it's released.
Thank you, Manpreet.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Ayerson, Canberra Vikhe, Australian Defence Force Academy vich kam karde khojkar, itihaskar ate lekhak, Professor Peter Stanley, jo hun kitab likhan lage han, Die in Battle, Do Not Despair, Indians on Gallipoli 1915. ਉਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਅਨੁਸਾਰ ਗੈਲੋਪਲੀ ਬਾਰੇ ਭਾਵੇਂ ਅਨੇਕਾਂ ਕਿਤਾਬਾਂ ਲਿਖੀਆਂ ਗਈਆਂ ਹਨ ਅਤੇ ਸਾਹਿਤ ਵੀ ਰਚਿਆ ਗਿਆ ਹੈ, ਪਰ ਭਾਰਤੀ ਨਜ਼ਰੀਏ ਨੂੰ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਇਕੱਤਰ ਕਰਕੇ ਪੇਸ਼ ਨਹੀਂ ਕੀਤਾ। ਇਸੇ ਕਰਕੇ ਪ੍ਰੋਫੈਸਰ ਪੀਟਰ ਸਟੈਨਲੀ ਹੁਣ ਭਾਰਤੀ ਮੂਲ ਦੇ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਦੀ ਮਦਦ ਮੰਗ ਰਹੇ ਹਨ ਕਿ ਅਗਰ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਪਰਿਵਾਰ ਦੀ ਕੋਈ ਵੀ ਯਾਦ ਗੈਲੋਪਲੀ ਨਾਲ ਜੁੜੀ ਹੈ ਤਾਂ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਫੌਰਨ ਉਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਸੰਪਰਕ ਕਰੋ। ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਈਮੇਲ ਪਤਾ ਹੈ p.stanley@adfa.edu.au। ਨਹੀਂ ਤਾਂ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਸੰਪਰਕ ਕਰੋ manpreet.singh@sbs.com.au ਅਤੇ ਮੈਂ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਈਮੇਲ ਪ੍ਰੋਫੈਸਰ ਸਟੈਨਲੀ ਨੂੰ ਪਹੁੰਚਾ ਦੇਵਾਂਗੀ।